Leroy, okay. Leroy Tobin, host of the show, man. Still on the sauce with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better more than. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him, I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Gucci get large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever, and cute as can be. You can watch this on YouTube, review him for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on a lovely, lovely Friday. We made it, everybody. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Boosie's galore.
When I went to therapy on Wednesday, I told her, see you on Monday. And she goes, what about Friday? So I'm glad Friday's finally here because I've been saying see you on Monday for the last 3 days.
Wow.
Because it seemed like a very long week for reasons I can't explain.
So you did go today?
Yep, this morning.
All right.
Three times a week.
How you feeling? How is the progression? You beating science?
So here's the crazy thing. My wrist hurts, my elbow hurts, and my shoulder hurts from being not moving for a month. But my bicep feels great.
Cool.
But I didn't want to get my bicep fixed and leave with three other pains.
Interesting. Is it like a strain? Is it a rustiness?
Stiff. Yeah, not using it. Like, keep in mind, you don't realize if you keep something still for a long period of time, getting back into just doing regular things, it's a little stiff. So my elbow, my shoulder, and my right wrist are just stiff. And so working on a lot of mobility.
All right. Well, we're excited. I need you to be in the bullpen by next fall, you know? So, and we know year two is always when you throw harder. So
and of course, I may or may not have made a couple of wagers with some of the people in there. They said no chance.
What were the wagers?
So I already, I got the tickle stick one because we're going lobstering.
Okay.
And then I said I could run a 5 flat.
Ooh. You sure you want to do that? Like, I know you could, but it's like, are you sure you want to like rev up the engine like that? You're more like doing stairs at an inordinate level, yeah, where you're just dripping sweat. Are you sure you want to rev it up to speed?
I can pedal the bike fast as hell, but as soon as I put all this weight on them legs,
yeah,
things tend to.
All right, I mean, good luck. I'll be there. For moral support.
I think based on all my previous stuff, I think I'm just a golfer. That's it.
You may have some eligibility left the way that college sports is going, because apparently everyone's leaving training camp to head back to college.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This has like become the latest thing. Have you seen this, Brittany?
No, honestly, I have not.
So it's been a pretty big thing in basketball. It's been pretty common where guys are – this has happened with the Canes. Malik Renu looks like he's going to return to the Canes this year. He played in summer league. And it seems like a lot of players don't quite know the number of it, but it's been described as a few players have gone to teams and actually even told them to cut them because they want to just go, they got to go make college camp because these judges are just letting guys go back willy nilly and giving them back some eligibility.
You know whose fault this is, right? It's the NCAA's fault, because when all these things with NIL and stuff like that were first coming out, they fought it like crazy. And then the players went through the courts. And once they go through the courts, and I guess California did it, so now all the other states have to follow with the NIL. Now you have no control over it, right? It's the same thing with all these other things. They're not going to the NCAA, they're going to the courts. And the courts are superseding what the NCAA does. And now all of a sudden, the NCAA has no power.
Right.
You could have had all the power in the world if you would have been proactive instead of reactive. And now that you're trying to institute rules after the fact, after everything is already out, nobody's listening to you.
It's
the NCAA's fault.
We've also hit this weird part where, like, there's so much, you know, there's been so many different rules on the medical stuff too, and COVID that have broken. I mean, like, what the game?
COVID did definitely throw a monkey wrench in it, because guys were given eligibility and it just kind of went crazy. Listen, it's been screwed up a long time, because, again, if I were, you know, and I use this example because there was an Olympian that played for Colorado that lost his eligibility because he was taking money to train.
Yeah.
Whereas, and get this, if you got drafted to play baseball, you can go and get paid to play baseball in the summer and then go to school and play football in the winter.
It was always a weird loophole.
Right. So how do you do it? It's just, there's no definitive rule. And so now guys are like, well, wait a minute. And so, like, yeah, it's the NCAA's fault. They were never clear on why this was acceptable and other things weren't. And guys have gone to court to challenge these rulings when the NCAA is already done. Now they have no control. They have no control over college football whatsoever, because all the things that are happening now, they fought and they lost. So they need to kind of, like, I wouldn't be upset if they look. Let's get the people from the universities, the agents that represent the players, and the NCAA, and get in a room and figure it out.
This is a tweet from Andrew Brand. He said, I had heard from NFL scouts that NIL money was wiping out low rounds of the NFL draft. Low round NFL players make a bonus, but they have to make the team for salary. In college, they're not getting cut. Now, some to be cut NFL players are looking to get back to NIL. What a time. Now hearing a few players are going to their NFL teams and asked to be cut now instead of being cut in 2 weeks to go play college again. What a time this is.
Right.
Crazy.
And guess what? College is going to see some of these guys and they're like, yeah, we'll give you some money.
Yeah. A little looky-loo.
Right. Exactly.
A little something. I mean, the Canes have a 26-year-old linebacker. They had that, like, 26-year-old tight end who had, like, 8 years of eligibility because of all the medical stuff. Like,
let's not even talk about the punter that had a wife and kids and a business on the side.
That's right. The Australian, Lou Headley.
Lou Headley.
Oh, yeah. Australia's taking over the game with that.
Australian rules kicking?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they really, I want to know who is the guy. I need a Netflix documentary on how Australia cornered the college football punting market.
Didn't they have a camp over there?
They still do. Right. It's basically specialized for this. But I just want to be like, all right, we got Australian rules football. How do we just milk this? Because who doesn't trust an Australian punter these days? If my punter's not Australian in college football, I don't trust it. Even if they punt weird, it's like, oh, he's Australian. He's got this.
My thing is, I love when, like, Europeans or people from other countries come and they get a scholarship to a school and they don't realize where they're going to school because who is the Robert McIntyre, you know, the English golfer?
Sounds familiar.
Right. No,
he sounds like an English golfer.
So he ended up going to McNeese State. McNeese State is a black school in Louisiana.
Yeah, they had the kid with the boombox, right? Didn't they have the intangible kid who let his team out?
That might have been it. Yeah,
the manager McNeese State. They right. went by. Yeah, that's what they went. They won. So, they won. Did they go to the Sweet 16 recently? Or they got? They won. They had a huge upset in the first round, and that kid was beloved.
So yeah, he ended up going to McNeese State, and that's hilarious. Like, how would you end up there? And clearly, he did not know. Right? He didn't know. He just got offered a scholarship. He's like, great.
I think that's what happens with a lot of the Swedish people at Barry when they go to the right. golf team.
They just like, say, ooh, scholarship.
Scholarship, Miami, in. And they're like, what? Welcome to Miami Shores, friends. Go Bucks. Headlines, those are brought to you by Doral Kia. At a Domino's game, you'll always find your abuelito, and whenever you want a low price, you save with your pricito. Save now with your pricito at Doral Kia. The Marlins are back in action tonight. They take on the Washington Nationals at 7:10. Ryan Gusto on the hill. Marlins looking to bounce back off getting swept by the Phillies. They have been much better at home, so hopefully they can start clawing their way back because September will be here soon.
Yeah. What do they got, like 2 weeks to keep our interest?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Sounds about right.
It's a good job of it.
It's not unfortunate. Look, if they have a very closely contested September, we're in. But if they're seven games back,
and keep in mind, here's the thing that we all know what we're expecting from the Dolphins. So that does make it,
sure,
you know, a little bit, you know, like, yeah, please, Marlins, please.
The Dolphins, they got their second preseason game tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Game day, uncensored. Gets going at 2. So tune into that, everybody. I'll give you a weather update that's brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Beat the storm. Schedule your free roof and window estimate today. Call 954-968-8155. 87 degrees with a high of 92 today. Heat advisory. Maybe some rain later on. Typical day. Feels like 91 right now.
Did it rain yesterday? Because I almost got thunder too, and it didn't rain.
I got dumped on yesterday, dude, because I dropped off my son at jiu-jitsu. Then I had to take the girls to the mall. I was like Ubering all over town. And like literally as I was walking out of the mall to go get my son from jiu-jitsu, skies opened up. And you know how the girls are like, see you, dude. Go get us the car. So I had to go face that one alone. And in the meanwhile, there was a sale on towels at JCPenney. So I'm sitting here with like six towels. They all get soaked because it's dumping rain. And then this dude nearly hits me with his car, and you know it was a whole ordeal. And then of course it stops raining as soon as I get in the car.
Of course,
that's why you gotta wait it out a bit.
I mean, it's like once you get soaked, right?
Yeah, once you're damage was done, Brittany.
Right, once you get soaked, then the rain always seems to stop. But if you wait, thinking that, yeah, I'm going to wait it out because every time I do this, it stops raining as soon as I get soaked. Then it rains for another 40 minutes.
Handsome Daffy just goes, JCPenney's are still around? At least at the Wellington Mall there is.
No, they're still everywhere.
Great sale on towels. They were like $4 a piece. I was like, oh, that's a deal. When you see a deal, that's a deal. Karen says the guy who tried to hit Tobin was probably Schmeathen.
Yeah, pretty much.
I only feel like Schmeathen wants to wish you to go to hell. I don't think he actually wants to send you to hell, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. Miami Dolphins, second preseason game tomorrow, and possibly an update on their week one matchup as well. We'll get into that coming up next. Some do. Most number ones now are going out there and they're playing. Like, listen, Cam Ward took his lumps last year. And it was rough. It was a rough go of it for him.
Right. But you also understand that I would say some quarterbacks can handle it. Cam Ward seems like he has it all together to the point where he can go through something like this and still, right? But that's something you got to absolutely know before you go that route.
I mean, he physically looks like he can handle it. You know, as far as like, you know, he's a stout kid, it looks like. But
listen, they all do well in the combine, right? In the train motions to show how they could drop back, how they can do these things. But mentally, you're asking a guy to take on more than he's ever taken on in his life and still be able to perform at that level. I'm not saying there's not guys that can or can't do it. What I'm saying is that you risk a lot more putting a guy in there too soon than too late. Right? I mean, Tom Brady sat, what, a month? Month and a half? Right? Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years. So, like, we have to, but then you have, like, the Troy Aikmans of the world who, by the way, let's also understand that you cannot be an athlete or a quarterback in the NFL and have the rookie years that Troy Aikman had and that Peyton Manning had, and everybody go, okay, he has to go through his lumps. That doesn't happen today.
Very doubtful. Like,
right. So understand what you're risking.
But he's, I mean, odds are he's going to probably start at some point this year.
No, I again, understood. But guess what? If you look at all the success and who's struggling in the NFL, the guys who seem to be having a longer run are the guys that sat for a period of time. Whether it's a year, a month, or whatever.
I mean, new guys who are like dazzling right now. I mean, Caleb Williams started right away.
He started right away. They had absolutely no one though, right?
Well, yeah, and he wasn't very good.
Right.
He wasn't very good. CJ Stroud was good right out the gate, and now he's not good.
It happened in Chicago, right? That's the other thing. When you look at, like, they probably should have been more patient with Tua. When you look at, let's see, Stroud. When you look at the quarterback and
but Stroud was good out of the bat. Like he was good out of the bat.
But that was
the weird thing is he was good his rookie season and he seems like he's regressed.
Right. When you look at Carolina, he seems to be turning it around.
What did they give Drake May? They gave him like, did he start like? I think he probably missed like what, four games to start his rookie year.
Yeah, he started like four games and then he was in so bad they just threw him in.
Yeah, but understand. Who wants to see Bailey Zappi?
You have to be honest with the organization. Has to be honest with itself, right? Like for these people to just say on TV, just throw him in there, let him take his lumps. More quarterbacks get ruined that way.
Well, they have probably the most steady backup for him because even with like Cam last year, I mean, they had Will Levis behind him. He
right,
stinks.
Which he probably beat him out. Which is going to be tough to have a guy you actually beat out backing you up because they're going to be even more inclined to let you take your lumps. But yeah, there's like, I just think that we're sitting here with these rules that are just made up that like, okay, I have the same information as all the people that are saying, just let them take his lumps. So do they not have more proof that a more established quarterback and some of the more established quarterbacks in the league did sit for a period of time, whatever that period of time is? Do they not have that same information?
It's a mix. I don't think like you could say it's every established quarterback because like right now, look at Jackson. I mean, it's usually like a few games. It feels like it's kind
of. I'm not saying it has to be a year or 2 years. I'm not saying it's Aaron Rodgers or the quarterback in Green Bay. I'm not saying that's a unique situation, right? That 2 or 3 years, usually teams don't have that patience. Or more importantly, they don't draft the quarterback that, you know, like that. I would say, look at Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, like, did he sit a whole year?
I think he got like a game at the end of the year, but yeah, it was Alex Smith.
Right.
It was Alex Smith, but other guys, you know, were either, you know, they've moved around. Bo Nix started right away right now. Right. So like I think this like kind of younger crop, there's a lot of guys who did get right in there.
Right.
And make things happen. But I think with Fernando, you know, with Tom Brady around the organization and he's really been pretty passionate about it, it probably leans towards he's not going to start against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe like Kirk Cousins are just like, hey, he's too old.
Is there anybody that understands what sitting out a few games and what they learned sitting out more than Tom Brady?
No, he definitely would. He would have the input on that for sure.
Okay. And now if you have, you know, arguably the best quarterback to ever play the game and him not even flinching on that, you think there has to be some importance to it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably going to have some say in it. Unless he just looks better than Kirk Cousins.
Even if he does, the job here is not to make sure he's ready for this season, but maybe the 7 to 10 seasons after. And that's how you have to look at this. right? We're not looking at this as a short-term thing. We're looking at this as a long-term thing. What happened to in Dallas when he came in when Tony Romo got hurt and then he just basically kept the job? Different situation. Yeah, different situation with Tom Brady.
You got to look at it different from a guy who is a number one pick, like a number one pick or a guy.
It doesn't change the qualifications of doing the job, though.
It changes it a little bit. I think it does. The idea that a guy is, you know, is going to be looked upon. First of all, it's usually that's like going to be looked upon as the cream of the crop of the draft. So he should be more ready theoretically than a third rounder. So I do think that changes.
Well, then a third rounder, yes, but there's still some development that has to happen. There's certain things that are just a little bit different in how you have to do things, right? And so they have a veteran quarterback in there that can assist with that, to where he can watch and learn how to be a professional. Like, again, I'm not saying that this is a long-term thing, right? But I am saying that most quarterbacks benefit from being able to see how it's done first and being able to learn that way versus just throwing them in there.
Josh Hart,
like, everybody mentally can't handle failure.
That's true.
And so you without even knowing, you throw a guy in there and then he's had more failure in his first, you know, three games than he's had in his whole career.
Well, he seems like a guy that, I mean, going from a no recruit guy to transferring colleges, I could see him having the makeup to do that.
Yeah. Like, again, I could see it too.
Josh says, does Mendoza have a heel version of him? No. He said the Vegas Strip is a haunted house. He's treating it like the haunted house in the neighborhood. I don't think there is a heel version. I think he has his milk and cookies to go to bed and has protein shakes for breakfast. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. All right, let's get to a little 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored, sponsored by the invitation to the Lexus Summer Sales Event. Get offers on select models now through August 31st. Game Day Uncensored comes your way tomorrow at 2 p.m. Myself and Alejandro Solano will get you ready for Dolphins and Giants. Chris Perkins, Omar Kelly will stop by, and we'll get you ready for what does it look like it's going to be? An actively participated preseason game, at least by the Dolphins standpoint. At least that's the rub it seemed like yesterday after listening to the players and to Jeff Hafley. Here was Malik Willis yesterday on his potential playing time.
I don't know. I just go where my numbers call. He's like, oh, one's out there. I'm like, all right. I don't really have a preference either way. I like football, so if we get to go out there, I'm going to be excited and take it serious. I'm obviously watching the film because we had to practice against him today, and obviously we want to help the guys that are behind you, and I think we're all in this together regardless who's out there. So.
All right. There you go.
The only way I'll buy it, what Hafley is saying, is next week because they're not practicing against Atlanta. How much do they play with a two-week span in between that?
I think next week they'll do like as dress rehearsal-y as they do dress rehearsals. I know he was saying.
Well, because remember, like the last few years, nobody played the third preseason game for any team.
Right. But now it's kind of like you got the 2 weeks off beforehand.
You had it last year. You had 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you had a quarterback who's made of porcelain.
Well, I'm not just I understand the Dolphins situation, and I'm saying that particularly to the Dolphins, but this happens that technically most guys will play this week, not play next week, and you'll go basically 4 weeks without playing football.
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably going to be this one is going to be whatever youth or guys fighting for roster spots. It's going to be, you know, the backup, the third stringer, because Quinn Ewers isn't going to play. And Tutu Atwell and Jalen Tolbert, see who wins a roster spot, because it seems like the three rookies and Malik Washington are, you know, leading the pack. Maybe Coleman gets some time because he's been banged up. I think Henning got banged up at practice. So yeah. I don't know, man. I think it'll be this is going to be like, let's figure, because we already know this isn't going to be a deep team. So let's figure out what is going to be on the lack of depth of those pieces. But I think there's going to be a lot of the important guys feel like they're not going to play. At least that's what the tone is.
Yeah.
More so than it was last week.
But and again, I would understand it if next week they were.
Bless you. Dusty in there,
next
dude?
Week they were to play a substantial amount of time. Keep in mind, what makes this situation more unique than other teams in the league, they have a lot of young guys who haven't played NFL football yet.
Oh, yeah. No, and a lot of the thing that I think one of the positive things about camp so far has been is, and I guess it's probably a reflection of them not having the cast base, but at least the rookies seem like they've emerged and they are ready to start. Like, right. That's at least they're not stinking up the joint. And it's like, oh, Tutu Atwell and Jalen Tolbert are actually wide receiver one and two. And the idea that Caleb Douglas has already been like, no, we're going to start that guy. Jacob Rodriguez, maybe he's going to push Terrell Dotson. Caden Proctor's ready to rock. Like, right. It seems like these guys are ready to contribute at least the first three rounds.
Which in itself is a welcome, kind of feeling.
Definitely.
Because how many times have we go back to what Cam Smith, where we're saying, what is this guy, going to be?
He's nothing.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
The answer was nothing. The answer, we were just waiting. We're like, come on, Vic Fangio. And remember, we were like, oh, Vic Fangio's leaving. Then maybe he'll get a chance. Nah, he just stunk. Or just didn't
care. And that's the other thing. Like, we take players not playing and we put this story behind it, right? And then the new guy comes in and does the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, maybe the last guy wasn't so wrong.
Are you gonna watch all the preseason tomorrow, Brittany? Or are you gonna enjoy your life? Because I'm gonna watch it because game day uncensored. But I really wanted to by the second half of last week just enjoy my life. But what are you gonna do? Are you gonna use your Saturday, or are you going to? I don't know if you're doing Marlins or something like that either. So, but if you weren't, would you watch the Dolphins game, or would you enjoy your life instead of watching the backups?
Well, I'm probably going to watch it because I am doing the Marlins tomorrow, and the TV's never worked to watch the Marlins game, so I'll probably put the Dolphins preseason on. But if I wasn't going to be here already, I think I might just enjoy my life.
Is the Marlins game at the same time? It's at 4 o'clock,
It's at 4 yeah? o'clock, yeah. They're both at the same time.
All right, well, good. We'll go to you for scouting on
come to me.
Gronowski at quarterback.
I want to watch and I want to get a feel of all the young guys, and then the game starts. And I'm like, I can't do this.
It was a rough watch second half last week.
But what you have to do is think of it this way. Forget the results. Is everybody where they're supposed to be? Is everybody playing hard? And it looks organized. As a team, that's kind of how you have to look at this, because you have a good coach when you can go to guys that aren't going to even be on the team and they're playing a certain way, they're where they're supposed to be. That means you're putting together a pretty good coaching staff, right? If it looks crazy because coaches and those aren't the starters, so we're not worried about it, so it looks sloppy. That's kind of what you pull away from these games. And I think so far, although they haven't been good, once you get past the first 25 guys, right, they're organized.
Yeah. Yeah. That has been an element of it too, for sure. It'll be interesting too, because the Giants, I don't even know what the Giants did the last time around. So I don't even know if they're going to play more guys. Because they got everybody down here. They all practiced a lot as well.
Right.
We had the brouhaha. Jameis Winston was punching somebody yesterday. By the way, somebody said in the videos, they're like, Jackson Dart wants all the smoke. And I'm like, he very much didn't look like he wanted any of the smoke. He looked like he was very much enjoying the smoke from a distance. I don't think, and by the way, he probably shouldn't. I think a quarterback fighting is really dumb.
Right.
But I will say, It's so hot. I can understand why there's fights. These coaches who are like, no fights. I mean, it would make me so angry that right. being just fighting with people or just physically trying to maul people. And it's so hot. You probably are delirious.
Absolutely. You are like I'm telling you, like there's two situations where you're just angry. Heat and extreme cold.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just like, it's so cold, you're mad. Like, yeah.
That's what it like. And they're all sitting here being like, oh, you got to keep a cool head. You literally can't. Right. It's impossible.
Right.
You're on hell on earth right now. That's how hot it is. You can't make sound choices. Oh, you got to keep. No, dude, this isn't in a dome on Sunday Night Football. All right, I understand. You got to keep your composure sometimes. But these guys they're depleted. They're miserable. I saw Saquon Barkley was like, I hate joint practices. He's like, nothing comes of this. He's like, everybody feels a little froggy.
Right.
Everyone.
I feel the same way. Like, you're trying to set up something that half the guys don't really care about, no matter what you say. Right?
There's going to be one guy trying to prove himself. You're Saquon Barkley. You're like, I have nothing to prove. And that's why
he's
going to
say, ooh, if I take Saquon out, you know what I mean?
Get some points.
I hate joint practices, to be honest. I think one day is good, but we play in an ego filled sport with a lot of men, and I'm all about just putting the work in, and it's good to go against someone new. I think we're at that part of camp where we needed to go against a new face. Honestly, I'm not really a fan of joint practices. More times than not, nothing good comes out of it. Like, you get the when you have the work, it's good, but then you get to push in, to shove in, and someone says this about you, and I'm like, oh no, but I'm not that. You're this, and just like, it's immature when we get to that level. I gotta do a better job too, because I'm a little, a little troublemaker sometimes. But I was good this week.
You know why? You know what we go out there to do? Because we know we're not participating that much. Start stuff. We yelling, talking trash. I was yelling at coaches, right?
Just because you're bored?
Yes. There's nothing to do. Let's have some fun, right? So and that's just, what you do.
You're instigating?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
From the sidelines or on the field?
No, you're like, the thing is that when the offense is on the field, you have the ones and twos. The ones are in the huddle. The twos are behind. And then all of the rest of the offense is just standing behind the huddle. So you're chirping. The coaches are yelling at the players. Don't let him grab you like that. Don't do that. And then we'll go behind him and say, you just going to let him punk you like that, huh? I know what I would do.
No wonder there's just chippiness galore.
But that's why, I mean, and that's why we feel the way we feel about it. And then others understand this, is that you have an X on you, right? Saquon has an X on him. So somebody's always over there saying, I'm going to make my name by going over there and lighten him up. And he's not playing full speed because he can't get tackled. And then you have a collision. Everybody on the field with all the people watching go, ooh. Right. So it's not, depending on what position you play, it's a lose-lose situation, especially at running back. Because you're not running like you're going to get tackled.
We'll take a break. We come back. What an exciting day it was yesterday from Serbia. That's
oh
next.
My God. I'm surprised it took this long.